I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Katrina Kraft. She is a tax strategist. She helps people use the tax strategies of the top 1%, even if they're not part of the top 1%. And so something any business owner should be thinking about is maximizing their tax strategies. There's a lot in the tax code that is beneficial to you. And so, Katrina, welcome.
Hello, Craig. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, it's really interesting. I know for me, and I do know that I'm not deploying enough tax strategies, but when I look at just small things, it's the best investments. I can't get better returns in the stock market. I mean, if I go in an index fund and let's say I'm getting 10, 13% returns on an index fund, I can do way better, you know, just avoiding tax. And so I appreciate what you're doing. And I mean, how did you get into this?
I began really doing tax strategies because I was at a conference and I learned so much from that one conference. That was a Robert Kiyosaki conference, who's the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And there was a tax strategist there. I went up to her. So first I had to be bold because I was a little nervous. I went up to her and said, "I want to learn everything that you know." And she said, "Well, send me your resume." And what I found out is most people do not even follow up. She's like, "You're the first person that has ever followed up." So I learned first I had to be bold, then I had to follow up and take action. I began to work with her, and she was Robert Kiyosaki's tax strategist. She worked with the wealthiest 1% of America. And then I realized how much I didn't know from going to college, getting a CPA, and getting a master's. I still felt like this is something that was kept under wraps, that we were not invited to the table. So I decided to go around to the back door and make my own seat at the table to learn these strategies and then to share with others. I'm realizing that most small business owners do not know these strategies, and it's because we have not been given a seat at the door. And these secrets are so important because they can save you so much money. So I just love to share that type of knowledge.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've just observed, and as I've gone through, is for years I relied on my CPA to be my tax advisor. Mm-hmm. And I realized it's just not, you know, your typical CPA, it's just not in their mindset. And they're looking more at keeping you out of jail. And, you know, I remember, you know, I think probably the most notable example is I heard somebody talking about the Augusta rule. And so I went and talked to my CPA and I said, "Hey, I heard about this thing called the Augusta rule. Can I use it?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, sure, sure." And I'm sitting there thinking, why didn't you tell me about this 5 years ago? So
totally.
Yeah.
Totally understand. One thing, I am a CPA, and the first part of my career, before I really understood about tax strategy, it was all about compliance. We're taught to make sure the debits and credits equal, and then we file like the IRS says on the forms. We're not taught about these secrets and these strategies, like the Augusta rule. That's a huge benefit. I had one client that she did 3 days of vision boarding for the beginning of the year. And she was able to write off $1,000 a day for renting her house, plus all the food, plus she brought in entertainment. All of that was a deduction. And that saved her Like she had a $7,000 write-off just from 3 days of renting her own home, but you could do it up to 14 days. So now she's going to do an end of the year meeting as well. So these kind of strategies, unfortunately, as accountants, sometimes we are so focused on getting the taxes done, we don't have time to do the strategy. So that's why it is important to work with a strategist that that's what they're focusing on, because CPAs at the end of the year trying to just get your books closed. They're trying to do W-2s, 1099s, all those things to wrap up. And sometimes they don't have time at the beginning of the year to really focus on tax strategies when it's really most important.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, and just to make sure the audience isn't confused, like Trina just said, the Augusta rule, you can rent your house up to 14 days a year tax-free. And so for me, it was being able to take money from the business, transfer it to myself, bypassing the tax man 100%.
Correct.
I mean, that's huge. But in my interaction, what I just found was anytime I'd ask him, I was like, hey, are there any tax strategies I should be taking advantage of? And he'd never bring up anything. And so when I approached him with the Augusta rule, he did what I found a lot of CPAs do, and it was what you were talking about. I told him I wanted to do this, and he said, well, you can't rent your house for 24 hours. You can't take the 24-hour rate. Because what I had done was I'd gone to VRBO, found some comps. And he said, you can't take a 24-hour rate because one, you're not renting your whole home, and two, it's not for 24 hours. So his mindset was, hey, let's do something that I would be comfortable defending in an audit. But what I've seen, what I've learned is you kind of need two people. You need one person keeping you out of jail and one person making the person that keeps you out of jail a little bit uncomfortable.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm a tax strategist and I push I'm more aggressive, but I
Yeah.
don't like to be in jail. I look good in orange, but not in an orange jumpsuit. So I definitely, all the strategies that we have, we give you the code section. So you're comfortable as well with using that strategy, and I'm comfortable defending the strategy. So when we do tax strategies, you get a 40-page report of what we're asking you to implement. And we can help you implement it, and we have the code section for each. So that's what's important, that if you hear something, don't believe it on TikTok. You need to make sure you have the code section and it's proven, and you work with someone that knows that.
So what are some of the the low-hanging fruit, things like the Augusta rule that business owners should be using that they probably aren't?
Definitely hiring family members that help you in your business. It could be your grandchildren. Craig, I know you have grandchildren. If you have a business that's family oriented, your children, and this has been a court case that has passed, could be on your website and that could be a modeling fee. So if they're a baby, some people say, how did I hire, a baby? Well, are they a model in your company? And models make a lot of money. So I've seen cases where it's been $4,000 paying for a modeling fee. But if you have children or grandchildren that starting at 8 years old, they are super smart on technology and socials. So they can start to do things in your business, but it has to be documented. They have to have a job description, you need to track their hours and they need to have a reasonable wage. You can't pay them $20,000 for taking out the trash or
Right.
getting the mail. So it has to be reasonable. But I found those to be huge. I have a client, I just saved him over $30,000. And one of the strategies we used is his son does his social media. His son is in college. So he paid his son $15,000 to do his social media. Now, instead of paying the university, his son gets this salary. That's a deduction in the company, and the son pays the university. Also, because he is a employee, you can have employee education that's non-taxable to the employee, but the employer gets the deduction, and that's up to $5,200. So that's $20,000 right there. Instead of paying it to the university, let the IRS pay your child's college. So those are some of the things that we did. We brought off the son's cell phone. He lives in Florida. The client lives in Texas. The flights back and forth, because remember, he's an employee. He needs to come back for the company meetings. So it's all types of great things that we can do. You have to think outside the box, but we're still inside the tax code.
Yeah. What's another? I mean, that's a great one. That's I just heard about that one, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. I was like, it's amazing. Yeah, it's just an
Yeah.
amazing thing. What's another one? What's another strategy that people, easy, low-hanging fruit that most business owners overlook?
I love retirement because retirement planning is often overlooked on the small business. A lot of businesses are worried about just putting money back into their company, but they're not looking at their future a lot of times. Let the IRS fund your retirement. You can have a retirement account and have profit sharing. That profit sharing part that you're contributing to your own retirement account is a deduction in your business. So let's say that you have $25,000 profit sharing. So it's a percentage of your revenue that you can do profit sharing. If that amount is $25,000, that's a deduction that reduces your income. So that's savings. So if you're in the 20% bracket, it would be 20% times 25,000 is your actual savings. I want people to realize that it's a difference between a deduction and a credit. A deduction reduces your income and a credit reduces the tax. So along with that, there is something called a credit for small businesses who establish retirement accounts. You can get a credit, which is dollar for dollar, reducing your tax for the cost to set up small business retirements. So
Okay,
those
so
are some great
yeah,
options.
no, and let's back up. I want to understand this 25K more. So it has to be a minimum amount of 25K. Is that what you're saying?
No, so it depends on your income and your business. You can have profit sharing. It doesn't have to be a minimum of 25. I'm just giving the example of a 25,000 retirement. It could be as low as $5,000 profit sharing. So,
Okay,
yeah,
so it's
it's not a
profit
minimum.
sharing and it's a deduction.
Correct.
How is that different than a business owner taking a distribution?
So a distribution is not a deduction. A
Okay.
distribution is just you taking money out that you have profit in your business. So you are just taking money out, but you're taxed on your profit. That distribution is just you taking that profit out your business, but you're still going to be taxed 100% on that profit. A lot of
Okay.
people get that confused because they're like, well, I don't have any money in my bank. Well, you took it out as a distribution. It doesn't matter. If you would have kept that money in, you still would have been taxed on it, whether you took it or not, because that profit is the profit. It's just you taking it out or keeping in the business to continue to fund your business. There's no difference in the taxation.
Here's why I'm confused on that. So for anybody that's like a LLC or an S Corp, it's pass through. So they're paying. Here's where it's confusing for me. So help me work
Okay.
through this.
Sure.
So if I do a distribution, I'm getting money out of the business while bypassing employment tax, payroll tax.
Correct. Correct.
But if I do profit sharing, that's going to get hit by payroll tax, won't it?
No, what do you mean? Why would it get hit by payroll tax?
Okay, so let's say I have $5,000 I'm going to do as profit sharing. I'm going to move over to myself.
Okay.
Okay, so if I do it as a distribution, that comes over, I'll still have to pay personal income tax on that,
Right.
but not payroll tax.
Well, you don't pay on the distribution. That has nothing to do with it. You're paying it on the profit of the business, whether you distribute it or not. So if you had 100,000 profit and you distributed 100,000, it makes no difference whether you distribute 50,000 or 100. You're still taxed on what you profited, regardless on what you distribute.
And here's where I'm confused. I thought as a S Corp, all the profits were passed through anyway to my personal income tax.
Exactly. Whether you take it or not, all of them do pass through, whether you take it or not,
Okay.
the
So this
profit.
is where, again, this is where I'm confused.
Okay.
If I pay myself out of the business, anything that looks like regular income, that's going to be subject to personal income tax and it's going to be subject to payroll tax, right?
Salary. Yes, your salary. Because remember, in an S corp, you get a K-1. That K-1 is what's reported on your taxes. That K-1 shows your profit. That's what flows to your tax return, your profit that's on the K-1. The distribution is just a amount that's tracking your basis in your business. But that K-1 number, that's that first line on the K-1 shows your profit. That is what reports on your personal individual tax return. That's what you're taxed on.
All right, so that makes sense. I get that. Is profit sharing, let me ask it this way, is profit sharing W-2 income?
It would be.
Okay. So this is where I get confused. If I go distribution, I bypass the payroll tax, still have to pay the personal income tax that
Correct.
flows through.
Correct.
If I do profit sharing, then that comes through as W-2 income, so I get both the individual income tax and the payroll tax.
Well, it depends on if you do profit sharing, and remember, you could do a deferred where you don't pay taxes on that, just like a 401k where you could have deferred retirement, then you're not going to be taxed on that money.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the profit sharing is similar to like a 401k. You can have profit sharing in a 401k, or you could do like a SEP type profit sharing. So what happens is you can do deferred and not be taxed on any of that money until you pull it out.
So let's talk about the SEP, because that was something else I heard about somewhat recently. Never heard of it before. What is it?
Okay. So SEP is a retirement option. So you have simple, you have SEP, and you have a solo 401k or multiple, if you have multiple people in your business, 401k. I love the SEP because it's not too late to fund the SEP actually until you file your tax return for your business. So that is one tip that if you have not strategized on retirement, it's not too late to do the SEP. But a SEP is based on a percentage of your W-2. So as an owner, that's good for S Corps really because you have W-2 income. You can have a percentage of your W-2 allocated to retirement. And it's, I think it's 20 or 25%. So depending on if you're a sole prop or S Corp, it's two different numbers, but it's depending on what you pay yourself. And it's not too late to do it. You can do it up until you file your tax return timely, file your tax return.
Okay, so if I do a SEP, and let's say it's 20% for an S Corp, so I do the SEP, that gets taken out the profit for the business, and so I just put that in a directly into a tax deferred account.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like doing the steps. Like right now, if I have new clients coming to me and they haven't done any type of retirement, I tell them, okay, you can pay the IRS $50,000, or if we do a SEP and you contribute to your own retirement, you may pay the IRS, $20. It reduces what you pay the IRS. So why not fund your own retirement? You can have accounts that you can utilize for your retirement instead of paying that to the IRS. So why not do that? And I always show people the difference between going ahead, doing your SEP, or letting the IRS hold your money.
Cool. Now, is there anything that you can do regarding life insurance tied to the business? As your role as an officer of the business, you can buy some version of whole life that I guess it would have to benefit the business. Let me just ask
Yeah,
broadly, is there
that
anything
gets
you
a
can do
little
in
yeah, that gets a little tricky because it depends on if that life insurance is going back to the business, like it's not owned by the individual. So you can't have life insurance on yourself, and then if something happens to you, it goes to your spouse. That's not available as a tax deduction. So they have like different buy-sell agreements where you have owners, two owners. And you may have a buy-sell agreement covered with life insurance that allows them to buy you out if something happens to you. So those type of policies work, but just not you funding your own life insurance policy that benefits your family. That's not a tax deduction.
Interesting. So let's do one more. What's another tax deduction that small businesses should be taking but aren't?
Right now, a lot of people are interested in buying automobiles, and it's back. So at one point, the buy a heavy SUV, over 6,000 gross vehicle weight, 100% deduction, it went away. But with the one big beautiful bill, now you can do that again. And I just had a client, they bought a Rivian. So that's a heavy SUV, electric, costs like $85,000. They're able to deduct 100%. Okay, now I want to make sure this is clear. 100% of that vehicle, if you have profit in your business, they were able to save $22,000 in taxes. So we're not talking about, and that's why I want to make sure people understand the difference between a credit and a deduction. That $85,000 reduced their business income. But because of the tax bracket they were in, they still saved $22,000. So you don't save the whole $85,000 in taxes, but they were able to save $22,000 in taxes. So
Now,
that's huge.
with that, what are the requirements of it, the vehicle being business use versus personal use and tracking all that?
Yeah, so the vehicle needs to be business use. So this individual was using 100% for business. So you need to realize that, say, for instance, you bought a $100,000 Mercedes. I don't know if those what those SUVs cost, but $100,000, and you use it 80% of the time. Well, only $80,000 of that would then be in your calculation of your percentage. So let's start with $80,000. Then you have the bonus depreciation in a Section 179, and this allows you to depreciate accelerated. That's what this is. So when I say it's a deduction, it's accelerating the depreciation of the automobile so you get it quicker and you're able to do it in 1 year. Then remember, not only that, it's in your business. You have automobile expenses, so your tires, your car washes, your gas, all of that now is a business expense that you can deduct. Your repairs, all of that is a business deduction, but it would be at 80% if that's what you're using 80% of the time. What I have found, you need to talk to your insurance agent because sometimes they will require you to have a commercial policy. So it really is going to depend on your insurance agent. So that's one thing I like to talk about. And property taxes, depending on your state and county, you may have to pay property taxes on that because now it's a business equipment,
And
expense.
you know what? That's a big thing in Texas. Well, of course, you live in Texas. I think the thing that surprised me the most was if I bought a Dell computer for $1,000, the tax man showed up every year wanting me to pay. I paid the 8 and 8 and a quarter% sales tax on that Dell computer. Tax man showed up every year wanting me to pay tax, property tax on the computer.
Exactly. And that is so surprising to many business owners because if you do not report, they're going to self-assume and self-report what they feel like you should have in your business based on the type of business you are and if you have a business location. A lot of business owners are surprised by that in Texas
Yeah.
because you do have to pay property taxes on any business equipment that you have. So computers, they look at your desk, just all of this type of things. And it's just crazy that you have to pay that. Like you said, you've already paid the 8.25, it's sales tax. Now you have to pay taxes for just having it in your business.
That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, Katrina, this has been really in interesting. And the more I talk to folks like you, the more I realize somebody needs a CPA and a tax strategist, and they're not always the same person. Often they're not. How can people reach you?
I'm going to give you a special link and I'm going to have additional 7 tax strategies that I see people miss. And so that'll be very helpful if you want to dig deeper. Also, you can find me at craftmoneymap.com. And there is information there if you're interested in more tax strategies, digging deeper. I'd love to help people, especially business owners, because, like I said, we haven't been given this knowledge. So, the 1% knows. Why can't we know? Why can't we use the tax code and benefit from the lobbying they're doing? Let us benefit from that.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, Craig.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.